This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR.
Listening to live and on-demand shows has never been easier on MPR. All you have to do is go to the App Store or Play Store on your device and search up Access Internet Radio NZ. Select and download the first option at the top of the list. Once you've downloaded the app, the next step is to open the app and look for MPR. Once found, select it and then browse freely. Supported by New Zealand On Air.
Hi, I'm Greg Watson and welcome to Property Matters, the show where we talk all things property, including sales, rentals, commercial, industrial, you name it. It's right here on Property Matters. Billy Tossie is away this week, so you've got my dulcet tones. And I'd love to rip into straight away the latest monthly property report, which has come out from the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand. And if you're a bit of a property nerd like I am, it makes good reading. But what I'm going to do is just let you know some of the highlights on what's been happening in some of the areas. So Bindi Norwell, the CEO of the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, has said that the number of residential properties sold in March has fallen by almost 13% from the same time last year. Now that's around the country. And in New Zealand, excluding Auckland, the number of properties sold fell by 10.5% when compared to the same time last year. So what does this mean? Generally, it means that in the regions where house prices are rising, that there are still a shortage of listings. And this is doing two things. It's creating less properties to choose from, but also higher prices when they do sell, which we'll come to shortly. Bindi Norwell says the following, that despite some extremely competitive mortgage rates on offer from the banks and the high chance of the official cash rate cut in the near future, it appears that the legislative changes on the horizon and the difficulty accessing finance are now really starting to impact the housing market in terms of sales volumes. She goes on to say that hopefully as we gain more certainty over the coming months, particularly in relation to the capital gains tax, we'll start to see volumes pick up. However, winter is normally actually a quieter time of year anyway, so time will tell what happens with the sales volumes moving forwards. So she makes a good point that there is uncertainty in the market at the moment, particularly if you're an investor. Then it's just a matter of waiting to see how some of these things unfold. She goes on to talk about the regions in more detail and that 15 out of the 16 regions across the country saw an annual fall in sales volumes. With listings down in February and March, it's little wonder, she says, that sales volumes are down so significantly. So I'll move on just to talk about some key data. I like to keep an eye on what's happening with median house prices. And in Auckland, they've come down 2.7% year on year. In the remainder of the country, they're up 6.7% year on year. So that median house price is up there in the regions to, well, at least outside of Auckland, to 491,000, up from 460. The national average, which is skewed upwards because of Auckland, even that has moved up from 560 to 585,000. The volume sold, as I mentioned, is down somewhat, and I didn't mention necessarily that Auckland was down 18.2%. And that's really a significant difference, particularly for people working in real estate and having the ability to list and sell properties. So we'll move on there to the median days to sell as a measure of how things are going, and generally it's staying fairly much the same. Moving on to a map, so to speak, of New Zealand. If you were looking at a map of New Zealand and all of the regions as to what's happened with the annual median price changes, there's only two regions where they've gone down, Auckland down to 856,000 and the West Coast down to 206,000. But there are still significant figures. Just to give an example, Gisborne up 15.2%, Wellington up 5.1%, Hawke's Bay up 10.8% in terms of the median prices, And then Otago up over 20%. So these, if you think of it from an investment point of view purely, there are some big changes there. Southland up 25%. So a number of records there in terms of growth. Now, here in Manawatū Wanganui, the annual median price change is up 15.5% to 339,000. Those figures are higher in the likes of Palmerston North, of course, and lower in Wanganui. Excuse me. So what does this mean? In Manawatū Wanganui, the inventory, or the number of houses for sale, in other words, is down 19.6%. So through that whole region, which is a large geographic area, there are only there's only 864 properties for sale, and that's 210 less than this time last year. So there wasn't a lot this time last year, but it's actually got a little bit worse. I think in the case of Manawatū Wanganui, we've been experiencing high positive migration for some time now, as people realise that the house prices are affordable and that the lifestyle is good. Right, so moving on, in terms of the Wanganui market in particular, this is what Bindi Norwell has to say. The Manawatū Wanganui market tracked very close to the February market, with a market that is highly competitive because of a shortage of available properties on the market. And this competition is seeing properties snapped up. As a result, the region has the lowest median number of days to sell for the whole country. She goes on to talk about inventory, that's houses for sale, down by 19.6% year on year, and new listings down by 13.5% year on year. She says, and as I know through experience, that attendance at newly listed properties is very good. Purchasers have a good feeling for the market value and are now beginning to recognise overpriced properties. And that's possibly one of the main reasons as to why we see that the vendor asking price is holding steady instead of increasing. And there is also the fact that we see many multiple offers being made. And this is really happening on most properties where you're in a multiple offer situation. That does tend to drive prices up, as people who have missed out on properties previously do not want to miss out again. In the Manawatū, the uncertainty for investors are holding people back, and there's even some landlords, she says, that are leaving the investment market due to the uncertainties of the coming government changes. And if the listings don't start increasing soon, the market will continue as the same way as it has for the first 3 months of the year, that is, rising prices and multiple offers. Now, within the Manawatū Wanganui region as defined by the Real Estate Institute, there was a record median price in the Horowhenua district, which is now up to $355,000. Palmerston North City is up from $360,000 last year to $415,000. Now that's really a considerable increase in the median price. And as we go further afield to the whole district, even that is up over $48,000 year on year. The difference in Palmerston North there, if I could do a quick bit of maths, is about $55,000. So that's really significant. And to put that in context, that again is a 15.4% growth in Palmerston North City. And moving on now to some other local news and what's happening with the market. It is likely that the market in Manawatū and in Palmerston North is going to continue to be very strong, and even in parts of Tararua over the next few years. There's some really big projects that are happening that will require a lot of people moving to this area. We've talked previously around the military side of things with regards the movement of people from Ohakia, or to Ohakia, I should say, and Linton over the next few years, and also the Manawatū Gorge Bypass Road, which could have up to 500 workers. And naturally, you would think logically that maybe half of those might be in the Tararua district near and around Woodville and Paiatua, requiring housing, and the other half closer to Palmerston North and Ashurst. So that bodes well for possible rental prices and contracts that could be up to 5 years long for landlords. So that's really positive. Another thing that's got the green light, of course, under the regional spending plan is the movement or creation of the Kiwi Rail Hub, which will involve the movement of the railway from where it is now, dividing the city from Milson and Cloverleigh, to closer to the airport. Those of you with memories long enough or have seen the old photos will remember that quite a long time ago the railway used to run through the centre of town. And what some of us younger folks may not realise is that where the railway is now was the edge of town a while ago, but since then development has meant that Cloverleigh and Milson has expanded out that way. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to create a regional hub where transport can be distributed quickly and efficiently to other parts of the country. So we've got a lot of building happening of distribution centres around the area between Bunnythorpe and around that airport area there. And what that's allowing is once the train, the rail is in that area as well, that freight can just be distributed around the country quickly. You see, trains having to go through Palmerston North have imposed speed limits, of course, and trucks having to go through Palmerston North, it's the same, but also can really slow things down, particularly in that Tremaine Avenue area. So this is actually really exciting for a number of reasons. One is that more companies may be locating here, of course, as the ease and therefore profit margins of distribution will increase. Another interesting factor is that the area of land, which is where the railway currently is, and the next time you drive over one of those bridges over the railway, if you have a look to your left or right, you'll see how much land there is there, and then that can be developed in future, in the not too distant future, for hundreds of houses if required. So provided the land's actually okay and safe and sound, then that has got some great development potential there as our city continues to grow. So the other thing with the Kiwi Rail Hub, part of that green lighting from the Regional Development Fund was also the go-ahead for a second bridge over the Manawatu River, which those of us who have been around for a while would smirk, smile, or generally just laugh about, because we've been told many times it's going to be done, but now apparently it is going ahead, it's been greenlit. They're just going to figure out under this entire, because it's part of the distribution side of things, they need a second bridge to make this whole Kiwi, or the whole rail network hub work and the distribution side of things work. So where will that be? I would put my bets on somewhere on the Napier side of Palmerston North, but we'll just have to see. Both the location of where the railway will run and where that bridge would be put will just be subject to the usual due processes. So we'll just have to see where that goes. So we're going to take a break now. We're going to listen to a little bit of 21 Pilots with the song Chlorine. I'm Greg Watson, you're on Property Matters. We'll be back into it after the break.
Sipping on straight chlorine, let the vibe slide over me. This beat is a chemical, beat is a chemical. When I leave, don't save my seat. I'll be back when it's all complete. The moment is medical, moment is medical. Loving what I'm tasting.
body lives on lead. The last two lines may read incorrect until said. The lead is terrible in flavor. But now you double as a paper maker. I despise you sometimes. I love to hate the fight. And you in my life is like sipping on straight glory. Let the vibes slide over me.
And we're back here on Property Matters. This is Greg Watson. Lovely to have your company today. We're talking all things property. Before the break, we were talking about the general market and so forth, and probably just carry on with a little bit of local news. And this is to do with the proposed Turitea wind farm. And if you live on the far side of Palmerston North, and this article was on Stuff, it was saying Nahere Park residents in the dark about turbines. So they'll be about 6.2 kilometres from the nearest turbine. So about 2 to 3 weeks ago, Mercury announced it would start building Palmerston North's Turitea wind farm in August, and the nearby neighbours were still waiting to hear any detail about how it might affect them. And in the article, Kahuturawa Road resident Stephen Hoskins, who bought into the area 18 months ago, did not even know his property would have turbines nearby and be in the path of the wind farm's transmission line. He said there was nothing on the LIM report and no real estate agents or neighbours had told him what could happen. He bought in the area because it would be a rural residential area that he bought into, and he's just wondering what effect this might have. Mercury Energy did, however, say that they had been meeting with landowners directly affected. And the resource consent required Mercury to set up a community liaison group before the major work began. And more details about how that will work will be available in a few weeks. So they are determined to be open with the sharing of information and are in the process of establishing the channels that will help in that regard, they say. So this is something where the resource consent for the 60 turbine wind farm was issued in 2011, and neighbours had been quietly getting on with their day-to-day lives, increasingly confident that it was never going to happen. However, now the announcement's come out, we'll have to see where that goes. Moving to news of more of a Auckland-based situation. There's been articles, of course. Auckland property market is widely reported on, and we've mentioned before how it is generally virtually a separate beast to the remainder of the country. But here are a couple of headlines for those of you who may be interested in what's happening in Auckland. The first one was on Stuff saying that Auckland house prices have hit a tipping point as buyer options increase. So CoreLogic's analyst has said that house prices have hit a psychological tipping point, probably the point in which people are thinking it might not be worth necessarily getting into the market. So the senior property economist, Kelvin Davidson, said the areas that started with the highest prices had the most softness in value. In other words, prices have been falling, not dramatically, but they have been falling in and around Auckland, which leads on to another article, which is that the headline being on tvnz.co.nz, the Auckland house sales dropped by 18%. So that's 18% probably in terms of volume, not so much in prices as we just mentioned. So the number of house sales dropped 18% in February, and as I mentioned in March, they're down as well. So that's just a sign that when sales volumes are normally strong, actually, a number of the areas saw this drop happen. And again, just to reiterate, the market, particularly investors, are taking a wait-and-see approach, much like the uncertainty you get around that in an election year. So they're just waiting to see what is happening with the various changes. Another headline on nzadvisoronline.co.nz talks of a mortgage rate war, and ANZ is the latest to join the new round of cuts. So I also reported on this last week, but ANZ has now dropped its one-year fixed home rate to 3.95 per annum. So that means that all the major banks are now offering rates under 4% across terms of up to 3 years. So BNZ, Westpac and TSB have also improved their mortgage rate offers over the last week. And more banks, anticipating the potential official cash rate cut in May, now seems to be a good time to be a borrower and to secure a mortgage. ANZ special home loan rate is available now and matches the lowest one-year rate offered by ANZ last November. So that's something that's good. The current low interest rate environment just gives opportunities for new home buyers, but also for existing home loan customers to pay off as much of their debt as possible. Because, of course, if you can lock in one of these lower percentage rates but still continue to pay the same amount of money, it's really building equity and paying off the principal in the property much quicker. And Westpac economists have predicted that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand will cut the OCR to 1.5% in May and say that this would likely make mortgage rates fall even further, and that, in inverted commas, increases the risk of stoking the housing market, which is already booming in many regions beyond Auckland. So there we go. It's likely that might become a little easier, at least for the repayments side of things. It's also possible, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about the loan-to-value ratios, and this is when you're looking at buying properties, the fact that investors need 40%, and the size of the deposits for all buyers is larger than it used to be. However, what's often not reported is that the banks actually have discretion to be able to lend a certain proportion of their lending to people that are not at that level of deposit, that are less. And there's been a turnaround. We were now looking at regions as to some of the ones I talked about earlier in the show, but Manawatu, Whanganui is included in this, where the rising house prices actually means that banks may be more likely to lend to people in the regions with good growth, knowing that their lending is somewhat safe based on the value of the properties going up in case they need to call in a mortgage or if somebody gets into a bit of trouble. So I'm actually interested to see if there will be more lending proportionately heading to the regions than what there has been before. And if that's the case, that will also fuel the market, particularly in some of these areas that are already down on numbers of properties, but well up on the market prices. That's quite interesting. Another article is that, and this was on newsroom.co.nz, that a Kiwi build recalibration is not that far away, according to Phil Twyford, the housing minister. So it's interesting how they can have a recalibration, which to me is a way of, if you're in business, you set the budget and woefully fail, then you need to sort of change things around, just my opinion. But he was saying that a new look Kiwi build is not that far away, and that he says, we've almost landed it, it's got to go to cabinet and so on, we've got to talk to colleagues, it's not that far away, said Twyford. So the flagship policy had to be reworked after the amazing admission earlier this year that it would fall short of its first year goal of 1,000 homes. Since announcing his targets last year, Twyford has suffered withering attacks from opposition housing spokesperson Judith Collins on the targets, prices and popularity of the policy. My personal view is they're focusing in the wrong area. They should be focusing on creating more housing through state housing in order to really help addressing the fact that we have a fundamental shortage of housing. So with regards that, Kiwi Build had a bit of a think tank to try and figure out what they're going to do, how they're going to sort things. It'll be interesting to see what they announce in regards to recalibrating things. So there's a lot going on in the housing portfolio. However, I really think they should let Kiwi Build go, just get it out the way, and instead of making it easier to buy, just simply create more housing and let the market take care of itself. And finally, a news from sharechat.co.nz that a new rental inflation measure shows rising prices in March. And Statistics New Zealand is now using a new way of measuring rental price inflation. That's the rise of rents. And that shows that it's accelerated in March. The new measure draws upon Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment tenancy bond data, replacing what was a quarterly survey of landlords. And that will feed into the Consumers Price Index. So the National Stock Rental Price Index rose 3.4% from March from the same month a year earlier, edging up from an annual pace of 3.3% in February. So that's something to consider about if you've got a rental property, if you haven't put the rent up lately, that things have been moving. Some rents a bit more. Wellington rents were up an annual 9.6%, which was the biggest increase across the country. Auckland prices rose an annual 3.7%, and Canterbury rentals up 2.6%. And across the rest of the North Island, which includes us, of course, rental prices were up 6.6% in March from a year earlier. So that means that on a property that was renting for $300 per week, it should now be about $315 or $320. So it's just a new way of measuring. It'll be good to see how this goes and how we can track rents more accurately than the old survey ask a landlord method. So I'll be watching that one as we will be able to bring to you better stats in future about rental amounts and what's happening in the market. And this will help for landlords to then be able to adjust and keep their properties at market level, which means achieving the best income or a consistent income and making sure that rents go up regularly, which is always a good idea. And we usually mention that people should put rents up in line with the market. So that's just to say you don't go way above or way below. And having this information handy will be something that we can pass on to you regularly so you know where things are at for your properties. So I'm Greg Watson. This has been Property Matters. Thank you very much for joining me today. And we look forward to your continued listenership. And this is recorded through mpr.nz, Manawatū People's Radio, and it's available on good podcasts near you. Have a great week.
Support this program and others like it by giving a donation to NPR. More details at mpr.nz.